You're listening to a podcast by the United Nations Research Institute for Social Development.
Now we have the final speaker, the first to come to this auditorium, who is Michael Cañares, and he will speak on the subject interactions, challenges, and opportunities for SSE in the Philippines. And Michael Cañares is a managing consultant at Step Up Consulting, a social enterprise assisting local governments and non-profit organizations in the Philippines. He's also director for publications at Holy Name University, and he has got the CPA, and he holds a master's degree in development studies from the London School of Economics. You have the floor, please.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. From Southern Europe to Eastern Africa, let's proceed to Southeast Asia. My case is situated in the Philippines, and I would like to look into a fairly subnational and local case and discuss what are the problems and the opportunities for scaling up at a more, shall we say, national and regional level. So just a few introductions before I start. I would like just to acknowledge MUAD, the Multisectoral Alliance for the Development of Negros, which is my case study in this case, the South-South and Triangular Cooperation, responsible for bringing me to this conference, and UNRISD for the invitation as well. So, the structure of the paper, I would like to just to start off with a brief background on SSE in Asia in general and SSE in the Philippines in particular. And I would like to discuss SSE in the context of a community-based enterprise as a case, look into constraints, challenges, and difficulties on scaling up, and look also as well and conclude with something like opportunities and ways forward in this context. So for the social and solidarity economy in Asia, we have not actually known enough of the extent and the breadth of the practice. Estimates would show, for example, that around 13 million people are members of 400 independent organizations in 21 countries and are involved in social economy initiatives. But these figures may even be grossly understated. There are a range of actors in a mapping that was conducted sometime in 2011. There are a range of actors that are comprised of both state and non-state, public, private, and academia, organizations and individuals, networks, formal and informal, that essentially are engaged in a social and solidarity economy. But in terms, for example, of knowing its actual economic value, you don't have a data for that. You don't even have a data of who the actors are in a comprehensive manner, so much more also that the value that they're adding to the economy. In the Philippines in particular, there are certain case stories that we have known, but we do not know if this represents what's the portion of the total picture. So we don't know the numerator and the denominator of its contribution. So for example, you have, in some papers you see that there are 17,000 self-employed and subcontracted workers organized into 200 chapters. We see, for example, papers that talk about 11 microfinance organizations serving more than 2 million clients. The Cooperative Development Authority, the agency which practically registers cooperatives in the country, reports 21,679 cooperatives as of June 2012. And in the last rapid feed appraisal for social enterprises, both institutional and personal, there are a total of 30,000 as of 2007, with the cooperative, for example, as the biggest sector. What this paper would like to focus on is on community-based enterprises as a subsector in SSE, differentiated from cooperatives, social enterprises, microfinance institutions, and individual entrepreneurs. And as a construct, we'd like to look into CBEs, for example, as organizations that are essentially whose assets of the enterprise are owned by the community and cannot be sold for private or financial gain. Community members are the one leading the enterprise. The production of goods or services generate for profits for reinvestment or distribution to community members. Not only profit, they don't only have a profit agenda, but also they respond to social and environmental problems in their community, and they are financially sustainable or in the process of being financially sustainable. In the case of cooperatives, for example, that could probably be some definition as well, but in the context of the Philippines, you can even be a member of a cooperative in a regional location without necessarily living in that location. So that actually differentiates it from being community-based. Now, the approach we take here. We actually had case studies, five of them. I'm only presenting one in this case. And we chose a case study that it should qualify with the definition that I have provided just a while ago. And it should involve agricultural communities because in the country, there is a relative underinvestment in agricultural farming or farming enterprises. And that the case should be located in one of the 20 poorest provinces in the country so that we'll be able to somehow see if there's somehow a kind of an effect on poverty reduction initiatives. And the kinds of questions that you would like to answer are as follows. So what conditions, for example, and processes hasten the achievement of certain sets of outcomes, especially in making profitable the business enterprise? We also would like to know the constraints, challenges, and difficulties that are faced by the CBE, and what is the potential for growth of the CBE in the context of competition in a market economy? Because we know, for example, that while the CBE as an organization operates on itself as a social enterprise, it interacts essentially and is dependent on the market economy to be able to generate profits and distribute it to its members. So, the case here is Moad Negros, which is essentially a multi-stakeholder alliance of NGOs, foundations, and local government unit representatives. It was established in 1987 as a major collective response to the collapse of the sugar industry in the country by that time. And it has been at the forefront of poverty alleviation programs since. And it has become a provincial access center, some sort of funding agency to other smaller organizations, and this enhanced its capacity to serve more poor people and households and expand its reach to areas where development funding is essentially scarce. So what Muad Negros did was it used ABC, or the asset-based community development approach, as a way of identifying what are the resources there in the community that they can practically scale up, make production processes of. And they used what they referred to as a livestock-based farming enterprise, and the acronym is LIFE. And they're using it to produce not only livestock, but also two major crops, essentially, one which is export-driven, the organic papaya, and the other one is the organic rice. So they organized the enterprise along that line. Farmers were actually being trained on how to produce organic papaya and organic rice. They applied for certification processes and all. And then they are grouped into collectives to be able to deliver promised production targets on time and with the required quality. Now, what is interesting is they also analyzed the value chain of both papaya and rice. And they asked themselves the question, what is it that we would replace here? Because they found out later on that in the context of SSEs, more particularly in agricultural communities, you have these SSEs only as producers, and they're not profiting out much out of it because the marketers are somebody else, individual entrepreneurs that do not necessarily have the solidaristic values. So they organize it in such a way that they replace those stakeholders in the chain. But because in the country you cannot ask for funding from government or donor institutions if you are not organized as a cooperative, so they chose to become to have cooperatives along the line. So there's a live family farm at the production side. These are groups of families within a particular area, very remote from the city centers. So to be able to bring their products to the city center, they organize a marketing cooperative composed also of people, farmers that are from there, that actually transport certain goods at certain locations. And finally, one goes into trading and the other goes into processing. And the processing there is actually done by the women's producers groups. And all of this, both the papaya and the rice, organic rice, actually goes into major consumer markets. Now, I'll skip through this, but I would just like to say that each layer of the organization, the live family farms, the marketing cooperatives, and also the producers group, are actually engaged not only in for-profit enterprises, but for social aims. For example, the live farms, for example, are essentially protecting the watershed by planting trees along the borders of their farms. The marketing cooperatives, for example, are ensuring that each farmer actually gets the fair price of each product. And the women's producers groups are actually conducting, leadership sessions among themselves to empower them further in this value chain. So what are the results so far? You have 3,375 households as direct beneficiaries, but you have 300 households as direct beneficiaries in 11 farming barangays or villages. And majority of these households live in the priority poverty areas of the province. And after implementation for around, shall we say, 2 years' time, not 2 years' time, sorry, 4 years' time, the income study conducted indicated significant increase of income of participating households, and 61% of households assisted reported an increase of 51% in household income as a consequence of their involvement in the live farms. More particularly, this is brought about by the advantage that is being offered to them by the marketing cooperative by purchasing the products at fairer prices. And the marketing cooperative and the manufacturing plant starts to increase profitability. Now, I mentioned that already. Now, but there are challenges that abound currently. There are what we refer to as farm-level challenges, climate and weather, for example, which affects both papaya and banana as crops. And there are labor-farmer commitment problems, because if you engage in a market economy, there are production targets, so you have to produce them. And unfortunately, you have an aging population, students, younger population don't want to farm anymore. They'd like to work in call centers. So you have an aging population in the farming households. So that also contributes to the commitment problems insofar as production is concerned. Now, there are also enterprise level changes because the farms cannot meet their targets. The enterprise also cannot meet the market demand. So there's so much order for organic rice and organic papaya that is not being met because of the inability as well of the live farms to produce on schedule. And currently, the desired profitability is not yet achieved. And there's also a challenge in the enabling environment. Now, nobody wants to lend to farming communities. Muad Negros does that. So it's a replacement strategy. Nobody wants to lend them, then Muad Negros looks for the capital and then lends it to the farmers. And there's inadequate infrastructure and support system. Like, for example, traveling, there's an incidence of 2% damage in the organic papaya because of the condition of the road. So essentially, that's an enabling environment that is absent. We ask the question, is there a future for community-based enterprises like Muad, for example? Now, we say, for example, that there's a need for a strong social policy strong policy framework. What's pending in Congress now in the Philippines is the Social Enterprise Bill, which creates social enterprise fund that implements the social enterprise capability building program. There's a tax exemption, compulsory social security enrollment of workers, and so on. But it's essentially operating, or the bill is actually couched on a mode that gives support rather than create an enabling environment for the CBEs to thrive. Now, another thing is, we need a cohesive enabling environment. What Muad actually did is a replacement strategy. It looks at what are those critical stakeholders in the value chain, the financier, the trader, the producer, and replaces all of them. Now, is that sustainable? Will we be able to do that? Now, can all CBEs in the country be able to do that? So, and replace all sorts. Now, if you would like the CBE, for example, to scale up, then you have to replace so many stakeholders in the process. Finance stakeholders, insurance, R&D, incubation, legal services, and so on and so forth, which may not necessarily be possible at this given context. So will replacement strategy work? How about re-educating the private sector or the market players out there? Will it ever yield the same results? Will this be just a question of values or education or a change of mindset? Now, there are also emerging realities that within the control of the CBE. Climate change, for example, is there affecting both organic rice and organic papaya production. The aging farming population, the lure, for example, of the cities as employment centers rather than of the farms. And then finally, there's the lure also of the mainstream. Now, people at some point, the live farms, for example, would like to go back to inorganic practices and would like to go back to the traditional sources of credit because they can get the credit now and again and again and then be beholden to the creditor. So there's always the lure of the mainstream here. So I think part of the challenge is essentially to look into a systemic evaluation of the process and then look into the possibilities of whether or not the replacement strategy can work, or the education, or the redevelopment, or the restructuring of the economy is essential. And I'd like to end by one quote here, which says, What is needed is the development of a serious alternative economic theory that goes beyond the critique of neoliberalism to show that an alternative world where social and economic arrangements can achieve ecological sustainability and social equity and harmony. Thank you very much.
Check out our other podcasts available free on the iTunes Store. For more information, go to our website, www.unriz.org. Thank you for listening.